Good morning, church. Good to have you all here today. I want to go through, mention a few things. As he said, our elders and deacons meeting still at 5, even though services start at 6 tonight because of VBS. All right, so 6 o'clock, but we'll just have to talk fast in our meeting, or listen fast, one of the two. But no, we'll get her done. And then also, my wife and I wanted to make sure that we expressed our utmost gratitude to all of the church here at Harlan for all of their help, their donations, the work, endless effort there for the camp. And so thank you so much, and to God be the glory for all your efforts, that's for sure. But everything was... great, the whole, we had a great time, and if you're unable to be there, we missed you, but we're hoping maybe you could be there next year. So that is July 9th through the 12th, if you want to put that in your calendar. All right, we are doing our, what I've kind of labeled as our Christmas in July series, and Behold the Lamb of God. And last week we looked at the Lamb promised, and we saw why the Lamb was promised because of sin came into the world. And so this week we are looking at the Lamb prepared, and there's preparations that are made. We don't have the passage, the full text on the screen. I do have on the board what I will be reading. I wasn't going to read it. I was just going to assume that we know the story, but I'm going to want to reference back, so I'm going to at least share that with you here. So Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Now, and when it says the sixth month there, that's not June. What that is that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's. You have to go back and read prior that Elizabeth is now 6 months along. Okay. verse 27, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was, Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month.'" Verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And so as we looked and studied last week, we saw how the Messiah, the Savior of the world, was going to come through the seed of woman, is how it was predicted. And as we said, that goes against all nature. Well, that's why this is considered a miracle birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So way back in the dawn of time, man violated a sacred trust and fell into sin. That's what we had looked at last week. And at that time, God promised mankind that there would come one who would tip the scales, that would defeat evil and deliver humanity. For thousands of years, men waited. And while men waited, God worked. And that's something that we need to understand, is that God is always working. We may take a break. We may wait. We may slumber for a while, but God is always working. He worked in spite of the fact that they really did not seem to care about him at all. He worked because he was motivated by a heart of love to see his people saved. So he worked in spite of everything that they did, and in working, his love for them overcame every obstacle that they placed in his path. God kept on because he had promised to send a lamb into the world to die for sin. Last week was the lamb promised. Today is the lamb prepared. And so in this preparation, in these verses that we look at, we are reminded that the Lord had reserved a place, or there was a place reserved for this to happen. We are told that the angel came to a virgin. So this reserved place was pure. See, God can't deal with and cohabitate or be in the same, can't live with sin, can't live with ungodliness and things of that nature. It needs to be a pure place. The word used refers to a female that is sexually pure. In fact, the virginity of Mary is affirmed twice in verse 27. Contrary to what liberals and others may say, the word does not simply speak of a young woman, but it speaks of one that has never engaged in physical relationship with a man. The vessel God chose to use to bring his son into this world was a perfectly pure vessel. And that's one of the things that we really need to understand. We'll talk about that here as we close out this first point. But some might wonder, so why is this important? Why is this important? I think it was Dickey Chambers this week that made the statement. And this isn't in my notes, but it's important, or maybe I did go and add it. I don't know if we come to it. But anyway, he made the statement that human sin needs a human sacrifice. That the blood of bulls and goats weren't getting it done. That when God took the life of the animals in the garden, as we looked at last week, and clothed man and woman, that all that did is cover up their sin. Jesus took sin away. So it's important because God promised that the Savior of humanity would be the seed of a woman. Genesis 3:15, as we looked last week. This simply means that God would send the Savior into the world through the body of a woman without the aid of a human male. God's plan to send a Savior into the world involved him sending a pure Savior. Pure vessel brings about a pure Savior. Yeah, I did add it to my notes. Because when he said that, human sin needs a human sacrifice. That's what our Savior was to be. God accomplished this through the virgin birth of Jesus. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. This enabled Jesus to be born and live without sin and die without sin. He was able to give his life as a pure, perfect sacrifice for fallen man." We looked at that last week in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Remember, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. He was able to satisfy God forever through the offering of his own body on the cross. This is one of those things that grows, we'll say, more and more unpopular. is that the virgin birth of Jesus is a foundational doctrine of the Christian faith. And more we see this not even being mentioned. Why is it not being mentioned? Because most, or I shouldn't say most, there are many, even in the church, that don't believe that it was a virgin birth. That is really denying who Jesus is. It's denying the deity of Christ. Without a virgin birth, we do not have a Savior. Without a virgin birth, we have no hope. Without a virgin birth, we have no foundation upon which to build the house of our faith. Now, I will say this. Many of us may have Roman Catholic friends that put a whole lot more emphasis on Mother Mary than they should. Now, was she virgin? Yes. Did she birth our Savior? Yes. She did many good things. She found favor in the eyes of God. However, she is not God. Because she is the mother of God incarnate doesn't make her a god or goddess. She is not our mediator. We don't pray to Mary. Well, I don't know. There might be some people that pray that they get married. I don't know. We don't pray. We don't bring Mary and elevate her to the side of Christ or to God the Father. She was, as was mentioned this past week, a very integral part, but a very ordinary person used for the plan of God. So to deny the virgin birth is to deny the virgin birth of Jesus is to deny Jesus as the Christ. Secondly, we want to look at that there is a promise revealed. There is a promise revealed. Mary is told that she will become the mother of a son, but no ordinary child, right? We go to the doctor, you might get the test that you can look and see, oh, it's going to be a boy or it's going to be a girl. They told him from the beginning it's going to be a son, but no ordinary son. Her son, he will be her son, therefore. He will be a human, but he will also be called the Son of the Most High. He will be a man, but he will also be God. I want to, before we go any further, just make a statement. It's been several years ago now, but I don't know. I've never had anybody talk or ask me this question before or since. And I don't know where this young lady got the idea. She was taught it at church somewhere. But I can assure you that the Holy Spirit did not rape Mary. And that's what she had said. She said, well, they told her that this was going to happen and that she had no choice. So in other words, she conceived against her will. She was raped by the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying, if you believe that, I think that is the word has slipped my mind. I'm trying to think. But it would be the height of blasphemy. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. The height of blasphemy. Because that was not the case. It was because God found favor in Mary, because Mary was one that was living her life as the Lord wanted for her to. So a promise revealed, so this is, it's coming true. And so as Old Testament scriptures start to explode, at least it It should have in the minds of those in that day. It does in ours because we're on this side of the cross and this side of the birth and things of that nature. But Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." And we know that Emmanuel means God with us. The message of the angel to Joseph was the same. The moment God became flesh and walked among men is when this promise was revealed. John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." This was the moment that the Creator, and this was, because I want to make sure very careful, but so true, because but this is the moment in history where the Creator became dependent upon the creature. Baby Jesus needed to be fed. Baby Jesus needed his diaper changed. This is where, talk about the special privilege, right, of her task at hand, but she was there to take care of the Creator. What a humbling thing. And that's what, as her and Joseph were told these things, and we're not told Joseph understood these things and did exactly what he was supposed to do, but we're told specifically that, remember, Mary remembered these things and she pondered them in her heart. I think Joseph did some pondering as well. And it started to come, at least in Scripture, through the where we see it, started to come to fruition in some of that. Of course, everything with the birth of the child was all new and exciting to them. But when he was 12 years old in the temple, they both are going to realize again and be reminded that this boy was something special, that he was the Savior of the world. God himself robed himself in human flesh and came into the world that he might die on a cross to save his people from their sin. Mary is told that the child's name would be Jesus. Now, this was a common name in that day. In Hebrew, we know it to be the name Joshua or Yeshua. Many Jewish parents named their male children Joshua. It was Joshua was a popular guy, led the nation of Israel into the promised land, and because of that, many children were named that. There were many other children by that name. Or as the Greeks render it, Jesus. The name might be common, but the child to whom it was given was not. The name of Jesus, or Joshua, means Jehovah is salvation. And although Mary did not understand all that she was being told, she hears for the first time that name, which is above every name. That we would learn that under heaven there is no other name by which man can be saved other than the name of Jesus. She does not understand it now, but the child she will name Jesus will grow up, and one day he will die on a cross to save the lost sinners from their sins. Again, I'll make a reference to the series The Chosen, and it was always there. It wasn't like they did some. But if you start reading the Bible after having seen that, or at least, and maybe you did that before, I hadn't. All the times that Mary is with them as they go from place to place, his mother. And so, being that he was the oldest child, it was his responsibility to take care of her. That's why he was hanging on the cross. Remember, he looked to John and said, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. He was turning that responsibility over. And I always find it interesting that Jesus didn't turn it over to the next brother in line. He turned it over to a fellow Christian or a fellow worshiper of the one true God. Something to share there. We see Mary is involved in the ministry of Jesus as they go about. She knows and learns that his name will be the only name that will open the gates of heaven, redeem the souls of man from their sin, deliver lost men from their threat of hell, and speak peace and hope to those who do not know God. This child would be the fulfillment of a plan set in motion before the world ever was. He would die on a cross. He would raise from the dead. He would ascend back into heaven to guarantee salvation for all who would come to him in faith and trust and obedience. Thank God for the day that he sent his son into the world to be the Savior of God's people. And then that brings us to verses 34 and 38 of our text, where it says that power released is what we want to look at, the power released. So Mary hears the words of the angels and does not understand how this can happen. Mary, like other Jews, expected the Messiah to enter the world by the old-fashioned way. And she wonders how she will be able to have a child since she's never physically been with a man. And to Mary's mind, this is a dilemma that cannot be surmounted. Thankfully, the angel has the answer. He tells her that she is about to take part in one of the greatest miracles the world has ever known. God is about to turn Mary into a miracle, a supernatural act performed by the power of God. And that's what we need to understand, what miracles are. And as we looked last week, I believe that miracles were to prove who God is, to prove who the message is coming from. We don't have miracles today because we have the complete written word of God that tells us that. And we need to understand that power that has been released, that things that we call miracles today, even in this case, how many times have we heard people say, the miracle of childbirth? Childbirth is the most natural thing that happens on the face of the earth. Right? Right? Unless God intervenes and it's supernatural. And so as we look at that, it can't be a miracle if it's natural. If you get a pimple on your nose, young ladies, right? And the world is over, it's so terrible. But then you wake up and it's gone. You know why it's gone? Because it's a natural thing. It's a natural thing. And so what more is cancer or tumors? And what I'm saying is, remember, we have these things in the world because of sin. They're natural now because of sin in the world. I'm not saying because you get cancer or you get a tumor that you've got sin in your life, but it's because man is fallen, man is broken, that these things happen. So Mary becomes the miracle. The angel speaks to the words that conquered Mary's doubts. The angel addresses Mary's problem by giving her a promise, offering her some proof, and by declaring God's power. Mary is told that God is well able to do all things, and that he has said, and what he has said, he will do. Gabriel declares the awesome power of God and offers hope and comfort for the heart of Mary. Mary heard a message that was almost too fantastic. We can't even imagine it, really. It was unbelievable. But she confessed the fact that she did not see how it could be real. The angel offered her the promise that God, in his power, was more than able to bring this thing to pass. If you have heard this message today, then you are plagued by fears and doubts of regarding the message. If Jesus here is what you need to know of his message, of the gospel, of his birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. It all started with him coming to this world as a promise to a young girl. Everything God said happened and is true. Jesus is his son. Jesus did come into the world, and he came into the world to die for you. He came into the world to die for you, and guess what he did? He did die for you. He did rise from the dead. He did return back to heaven, and he is coming back to take us home one day. He's not coming back to set up his kingdom. He set up his kingdom in Acts chapter 2. He is coming back for those that have been faithful to him. All those who trust him by faith will be saved by his mighty power. As we hear about the virgin birth and think about God sending his son into the world to die for sinners, we might wonder why. Why in the world would God go to all this trouble? Why send his son into the world? Why allow his son to die for lost people? Why allow his son to die for those that could care less about him? There's only one answer, and that's because God loves us. The Bible declares his love for us, and the death on the cross of Calvary manifests that and clearly points to us, to show us all that he put on display how much he loves us. This blessed Lamb of God was sent to this world through the womb of the Virgin. The Virgin Mary, that he might be born, come into this world, live a sinless life, and give it up for us. We may think of it as just an old little nursery rhyme, but it is a biblical fact that Mary had a little lamb that became the sacrifice for our sins, to die on the cross. God prepared this lamb. As we looked last week, God promised this lamb. God now has prepared this lamb so that you and I and all the lost world may be saved. And you can be if you come to him on his terms. There's a plan of salvation in the Bible that tells us we need to believe in Jesus. Believe that he is the Son of God. Not just a good guy, not just a prophet, things, but he is the Son of God. That he is sinless. That he was perfect. That he was everything that we needed. And was prepared by our Father. So that we can repent of our sin, the sin that put him on the cross. The sin that each one of us, you and I, have committed, that we would confess Jesus Christ as our Lord. This is something that we have to do on a daily basis. But it starts with that confession that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism now saves you. We need to be able to know and be able to point to the time in which we are saved in the eyes and in the mind of God. Nowhere in scriptures do we ever see that it was They prayed for salvation. Remember, Saul prayed for 3 days and wasn't saved until he asked, "What shall I do?" And Ananias said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, and then do our best to live faithfully." I believe the hardest one on the list, because this is every day that we're going to continue on. And you know what? We're still human. And we're going to falter, and we're going to fail, and we're going to stumble, and we're going to say stupid things, and we're going to do even stupider things, and we're going to mess up. But it's the blood of Jesus Christ that brings us back to that level playing field. That when the Lord, our Father, looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. Amen and hallelujah. If you're here today and outside of Jesus Christ, we encourage you to be obedient before it's eternally too late. The Lord could return before we know it and realize that we're going to spend a Christless eternity separated from him. But God has prepared a lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Come to him today. Will you stand?